RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You know, it's hard when you're, you know, kind of a competitor yourself, and you know that you start asking yourself the question, at what percent is having him out there still give us, you know, the best possible chance to win? And that's not the way to go about it with a player of that kind of importance to our team, our organization, everything we want to do. The goal now is to get him healthy as fast as possible and give him the great resources and treatment that Tyler, Uriah, and our group offer.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
So that was Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell talking about Justin Jefferson, just, you know, the whole issue. I got to be honest, man. I feel like Nostradamus a little bit. I was searching the waiver wire for my fantasy league on Sunday morning, and I thought to myself, I said, man, Osborne, you know, I watch their games because I already have Jordan Addison on my team, both of my teams, actually.
Okay.
And then I'm like, man, Justin Jefferson, these guys 1-5, this is very much like a I get hurt situation. I swear on everything I love, I said that on Sunday morning. And then I thought to myself, and I said, man, I should just pick him up because it'll be much cheaper to do it now because we have a what is it called? You have a money, a kitty that you have to use to get players, and it's not just you go grab them, right? So I was like, man, it's going to save me some money if I just pick him up right now. And I was like, you know what? Just Jefferson ain't getting hurt, man. I say, this is Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson show. And when I saw the alert pass by on my screen, I was like, no, God, you're hilarious.
So you put that voodoo.
Man.
You put that voodoo on Justin Jefferson. That's exactly what that was.
Wanted the Bears to have a 2-game winning streak for the first time in a very long time. But the Bears do play the Vikings on Sunday. Justin Jefferson, they're saying, might hit the IR. You know, they're 1-4, just like the Bears. But I got to be honest, and I'm going to bring this up with our guest at 8:20, Ron Johnson. If you watch that Chiefs game, they just had a bad streak of turnovers in every single game.
Right.
And you know, the KC game, starting off first play of the game with a fumble from the tight end Oliver. It's like, oh my God, talk about putting yourself up against the wall, like against the Kansas City Chiefs, you know. And then some missed opportunities, some drop passes, just things that, you know, the ball just not bouncing their way this year like it did last year.
It's an interesting thing, man, because as much as, you know, we talk about Justin Fields in this town a lot, and Kirk Cousins has been around the block enough in the NFL for everyone to agree that he's not amongst the elite quarterbacks in football. But as you and I have joked about both on this show and over on Bears Unleashed on Fox, he's not trash.
No.
But he gets discussed as though he is some trash quarterback, man. But it's no small thing to consistently put up the yardage, the touchdowns, the wins that Kirk Cousins has put up throughout his career. But just kind of our conversation in the sports world has turned into either you are someone who is the key piece in a league championship or you're garbage. And Kirk Cousins is not garbage. But now you got the rumors where folks are talking about maybe the Vikings should trade him or will trade him. And apparently they brought Colt McCoy in for a workout. Like, he is definitively not an upgrade over Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. So what would be the point in doing that? I mean, I guess if you trade Kirk Cousins away and Colt McCoy is there on the scrap heap somewhere and you sign him to at least have some veteran QB who you feel like you can get by with through the rest of the season, then I guess that gives you an option. But Cousins has a no-trade clause, so he doesn't have to sit here and take that. You know, he doesn't have to just sit there and allow the Vikings to move him to some other team and uproot his family and go through that whole thing in a contract year for him anyway. He's comfortable in Minnesota, putting up numbers in Minnesota. And for where he's at in this space in his career, he can just sit there and finish this season out and then get a new deal, get a new contract from someone else. Frankly, I think regardless of the level of team success or lack thereof that the Vikings have, now he's in his mid-30s at this point. He's been in the league for a long time, so you know, I don't think he's in line for a huge payday from someone unless he just really has an excellent season. But him continuing to be Kirk Cousins, there will be someone out there just kind of willing to do, whether it is the Jimmy G situation or
something
like that.
It's giving Joe Flacco right now.
That's what I'm feeling. Come
right
in,
now.
Start, be the QB in waiting. You know, all right, let's have Drake May come in here and learn behind you for a couple of months.
Oh,
you know,
God.
some kind of deal like that. Like, somebody's gonna be happy to bring in Kirk Cousins to be at least that guy, if not more. So yeah, I think he will likely be in Minnesota the rest of the season, would be my guess. But if he is, I mean, that means problems for the Vikings opponents for the rest of the season, because the dude puts up numbers, he moves the football, and in certain games he does look like a really high level quarterback, because he's a guy who can lead drives down the field, who can give your defense fits, who can make it tough for you to disguise things. And when you're trying to pressure him, you better get there fast, because he's going to get rid of the football. I mean, the guy's a good football player. He's had a really good career. He's just not one of the guys who is of the one percenters from an NFL perspective at quarterback.
Which is difficult to be. It's difficult to be in that 1% category, and that's why we're so hard on guys like Justin Fields. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron, here on 670 The Score, just talking Bears and Vikings happening on Sunday. Obviously, Justin Jefferson, it looks like he's heading to the IR. Jaquan Brisker, he was on with Bernstein and Holmes earlier today, and kind of like you're saying, and it doesn't matter if he's there or not, because Kirk Cousins is still going to put up those numbers.
Really just not focusing on that he's not playing. Treat it as, if he's playing or not, because we just don't want to underestimate, any of the receivers, any of the run game, the quarterback, their vet quarterback, things like that. So just try to, just stay focused on the test, just worry about, our assignments, things like that, focus on our jobs. And really just don't underestimate them. Even though, he'll be out for a little bit, we still want to have the same mindset. We still want to get on them.
Gabe and Ant, I got a question for you guys. I know that, Anthony, you said that you think Kirk Cousins is going to be in Minnesota the rest of the year. Do you think that if the Vikings lose to the Bears on Sunday, that could change things? Are you buying into this whole Kirk Cousins to the Jets thing?
I'm not.
Nah.
But, I guess stranger things have happened, but the Jets went all in with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And obviously he's hurt, and there's no reason to be confident he would be able to come back from an Achilles in time for the postseason. But, yeah, I'd be surprised. I don't know. I mean, they don't want this to be a lost season, so it's the type of aggressive move that maybe a team like the Jets – would feel pressed to make, because they went so all in on this season for Rodgers and on the other acquisitions that they made to the roster. And it is a really difficult division that they're in the AFC East. So if you're going to try to keep up with the Dolphins and the Bills, then you know, it's the type of move that I guess they're the type of team I could maybe see them considering it. I don't even know what kind of assets the Jets still have between
none
cap space and draft capital, like to make a Kirk Cousins move happen after everything else they did, making Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook and other guys happen over the offseason in the midst of camp and everything else. Do they even have enough in their arsenal to make a Kirk Cousins move happen? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and then when you're looking at the teams in the NFL, right, you really would have to look at what squads are close enough to glory that if they lose their quarterback, they'd be desperate enough to go give up big assets to get a guy like Kirk Cousins. And there's not many teams cut from that cloth when you're looking at the landscape of the NFL right now. But like you said, stranger things have happened. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks land Dame Lillard. It's just, you just never know what's going to happen in those situations. But it's a good question, because I think either team is going to look at themselves differently after this game, right? I mean, the Bears, once again, trying to gain some sort of momentum. And if you lose to a Minnesota squad who has a poor defense, who has, you know, a team without Justin Jefferson, whose running game hasn't been able to necessarily get off the ground, I think they'll be looking at themselves just as much as the Vikings would be if they lose to the Bears.
And I would also, you know, the point I made about the Kirk Cousins no trade clause, I think it's not just up to the Vikings to be able to ship him off anywhere. And so where for the Jets, I could see where there would be an appeal to bring in a Kirk Cousins, but would there be a legit appeal for Kirk Cousins to even go to New York? Because like, if it goes great, then that's one thing,
that's
but you still
one.
Are in a position to have to contend with. So if things go okay for Kirk Cousins being allowing himself to get traded to the Jets, you still got to contend with the idea that Aaron Rodgers is potentially still their QB in waiting for 2024. They're not going to choose you over a healthy Aaron Rodgers after he heals his Achilles. So then you're going to be in a stopgap situation in one of the most heated media markets to try and deal with, in an offense that you're not going to know, with teammates you haven't played with before. So it could go well, or it could go horribly wrong, when right now he's in a circumstance that he's already comfortable in with teammates and coaches and a community that he's already in. I would be surprised if Kirk Cousins waived the no trade, especially to go to that degree of pressure cooker in a non-favorable circumstance, like showing up in late October to try and save the Jets' awful offense.
Right, because they're not going to let him take Tuesdays off. They're not going to let him do what it is he wants to do. I mean, I saw quarterbacks on Netflix. He's super chill. He's got a cush life in Minnesota right now. Loves it. Low pressure in comparison to the Jets' situation. If were he to go over there, but I think he's going to stay put. I think he's going to just tell him, hey man, ride it out. Like you said, he might even do that for the next quarterback of the Vikings, just because of where he sees himself, you know, in the franchise and who he can be. But Justin Jefferson said it, right? I'm only going where Kirk Cousins is going. So I'm not re-signing or doing anything until we find out what we could be. Because do you think they can compete?
Your Hex came at a great time, by the way.
Oh, well, that was so
right as the Bears are getting ready to face him.
Brujeria
they couldn't
is
do
a real
thing with Justin Jefferson last year.
One of my uncle's favorite songs. Tu me hiciste brujería, bruja, bruja. So you put a little, you know what I'm saying? Justin Jefferson on him. Bears need some help. But it's going to take a lot more than that. But the question I have for you is do you think Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, if they were to stick together for, you know, let's say another 5 years or so, do you think they could be mentioned in some of the best tandems in NFL history?
A lot of times that ends up coming down to some postseason success as well.
Right.
They've got one playoff win together, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, and this certainly isn't looking like a season where they would be adding another one into the mix, you know, where the Lions right now are the cream of the crop in the division. How big of a separation is there between Detroit and everyone else? At least through the first 5 weeks, it looks like it's fairly sizable between them and Green Bay, between them and the Bears, between them and the Vikings. But I don't see Minnesota as a squad that would be able to, especially at this point where Cousins is already in his mid-30s. So if it's not happening this season, if they did surprisingly bring him back again for next year or beyond, yeah, you can keep putting up numbers with Justin Jefferson, but are they in a position to really kind of put a fresh face on the franchise elsewhere to set up this roster to really have some real postseason success? Because that's a part of what these great tandems end up being judged by, you know, or – think about like Randy Moss early in his Vikings career, where he was obviously the most talented receiver in football, but he spent years being viewed pretty much in the same way as Terrell Owens was viewed, as kind of a malcontent, locker room cancer type of guy. And then he goes to New England and spends some historic years with Tom Brady. And even though they didn't actually win a Super Bowl together, but they made a Super Bowl, put up historic numbers, so they won at a high level while he was in New England. So now Randy Moss is viewed in a completely different context because of postseason success that he was able to go and achieve in New England. And he and Tom Brady are viewed as this amazing combo for the brief time that they played together. We end up, you know, kind of putting everything in the prism of whether or not you had a shot at a title. If you competed for a title, are you a big time winner? And since Randy Moss was a part of that, then it reshaped his image. And I think unless Cousins and Jefferson are able to do something like that in the postseason, then there's just going to be some guys who put up numbers.
Yeah, and hopefully they can be, or those numbers are just some good ones, and they continue to grow together. And there's another team in Chicago that's looking to grow, Chicago Bulls, and they just had their first preseason game against the Bucks. We get to talk to Cody Westerlin about the squad. We know they're starting up in just a little bit. Should we be
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Expecting anything different from last year? Is this just like a Chicago thing where every team is just the same year in and year out, and we're just in bizarro land?
We resigned to our fate.
Dude, it's ridiculous. All right. We're going to talk to Cody Westerlin next, right here on 670 The Score.
I feel like I'm just going to play my game. No matter what's going on, I'm just going to be me, be who I am. I don't feel like I need to change anything or do anything differently out of what I normally do. I feel like I'm just going to continue to grow. Like I said, I just want my game to continue to grow, and whatever role ends up happening, I'm going to try to, you know, play that role to the best of my capabilities. But nah, I'm going to just be who I am, be who Kobe is at the end of the day.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Now, that sounds like a guy who is confident in his own skin, who has taken his game to the next level and is ready to maybe be the starting point guard for the Chicago Bulls. What's up? It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score. Broadcast live from The Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We finally get to chat a little bit, and I don't have to put a dollar in the bucket. I could just talk about the Bulls freely without spending money from my own pocket with our next guest joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It is Cody Westerlund, our guy here on 670 The Score, our lead editor and also our Bulls insider. Cody, what up?
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thinking about Kobe. I mean, it's a guy who, you know, a word that has been used in the Chicagoland area, not just for the Bulls, not just for the Bears, but it is development and the lack thereof. And with the Bulls organization, some people feel as though that is the case. But a guy like Kobe has kind of, you know, continuously gotten better, and we've been able to see it in real time.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Kobe's going into his fifth NBA season here. His opening night looms in a couple weeks. It's like we've seen a lot of basketball from him, and you mentioned the development last year. It's interesting, Gabe. I don't know if you know, the lowest scoring season of his career by far. He averaged 9.7 points per game, fewest minutes per game of his career, and it was the best Kobe White I think any of us had ever seen. We'd pretty much all agree. I think he agrees, the coaching staff, fans and observers who watch the Bulls every night. He just understood the game so much better where he needed to get on the court. He drastically improved on the defensive end, had a better idea of when to attack, when not to. So he's trying to build off that right now, and I think he's probably in the center of the biggest storyline in Bulls training camp, which is who's going to win the starting point guard job. He got that nod in the preseason opener, and it's still an open competition, mainly between him and Javon Carter, even as Billy Donovan and some Bulls officials will also throw Io DeSumo's name in that mix. It's really between Kobe and Javon Carter.
So if last season was the best version of Kobe White, and I think I agree we would all co-sign that assessment, is that the ceiling of Kobe White? Do you feel like that is the best version of Kobe White that we will likely see in the NBA? And if so, then what level of starting point guard is that for the Bulls?
No, that's not the best Kobe we'll see. He's 23, going on 24 midseason here, and he has a very good work ethic. And I think I actually think he went through quite a bit of turbulence just by way of criticism and getting thrown in and out of the starting lineup, playing with different people so much his first two or three years in the NBA. I mean, there were times he had the starting point guard job, and then there were times he weren't. I mean, I know I wrote a story. I know pretty much everyone on the beat wrote a story at some point that said, this Kobe White we're seeing is not a point guard, and the Bulls are force-feeding into that position a few years ago, and it was a disaster. So he has not hit his ceiling. I think it's a fair question to ask, how high is his ceiling as a point guard, right? Like, I still don't view him as a guy who's going to go out there and play 35 minutes a game in any traditional point guard role, and you be like, yeah, that's my guy that gets me to the Eastern Conference Finals or something because right. He's my point guard. Like, to me, he's still more of a lead guard, can maybe start for the Bulls, but you need the fulcrum of the offense to go through someone else in many ways when it comes to initiating, which for this Bulls team, they have Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan to do that. But when I think of his ceiling, I still don't think of his ceiling as a traditional point guard. I think of it more as making more plays, shooting threes at a little higher clip, and continuing to improve defensively.
Right, because he's not going to be all the way Patrick Beverley or Thomas Satoransky, right? But yeah. And he's not all the way going to be, you know, choose any of the backup Bulls point guards over the last decade that have been shooters off the bench. But he's not going to be that either, right? But you want him to be somewhere in the middle. And I think, man, he's played with so many really good point guards, right? Where he can, I feel like just via osmosis can just be like, okay, if I'm going to be asked to do this, and after a year like last year where he did, you know, obviously shave a few points off of his per game total in order to be successful in other areas. And especially when you got guys that can already score at a higher clip, right? Like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, Vooch, that we saw it with Lonzo, where you can distribute the ball and you're still going to eat. Lonzo was still shooting threes in the perimeter and hitting him at a high mark, running the offense for the Chicago Bulls when he was healthy. And I mean, you know, it's Kobe Kennedy. I think we all want that, right? But another young person who needs to step up, and we've been saying that statement for the last, or since he's been on the Bulls roster, is Patrick Williams. And I don't know. And what I've seen in social media, just him as a person, he doesn't seem like he's so shelled as he was when he first got in the league. And I feel like that might contribute to his playing style this season.
Yeah, I could have finished that sentence for you as soon as you brought up another young player who needs to. We knew where that was going with Patrick Williams. I mean, I like Patrick Williams, but I'm just at the point where I got to see it, right? Like, he's a good dude. He's a good guy, but the entire organization is just imploring him to be more aggressive and forceful, and we don't see it for long stretches at any point of time in his career. So that's simple. We've talked about this a lot. That's going to be the difference between Patrick Williams just being an NBA guy, being a role player, and Patrick Williams being something more, who has all-star potential, who can be a building block of a Bulls team moving forward if he gets really aggressive, because he has the physical tools. He has the shooting touch. He deserves a ton of praise, Patrick Williams does, just for the work on his three-point shot, but his understanding, too. Like, you want him to be more aggressive, but he clearly takes good three-pointers. He's nearly a 42% three-point shooter in his NBA career, and you can say, well, DeMar's getting him easy looks in the corner. Yeah, but, you know, he worked on that shot in the corner. He knows which ones to shoot. He doesn't force them. So there is so much potential for Patrick Williams just because he has the shooting touch, and not everyone has that. You know, a lot of guys have to learn that skill. And with him, we said Kobe in the point guard's probably storyline number one. Patrick Williams is probably storyline number two, because I think he'll probably start at point guard or power forward, but Billy Donovan's still considering him with the second unit, might play him for 4 minutes early in games and such, and then pull him and put him more in with the second unit, have Torrey Craig come in with that veteran presence in that situation. So you look at the Bulls in training camp, it's fairly straightforward. What can these young guys step up and do?
I got Cody Westerlund, our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. He's our editor at 670thescore.com and certainly covers the Chicago Bulls. You can find him on Twitter at Cody Westerlund. And the Bulls conversation about continuity, it seems to me that if you have a healthy version of Zach LaVine, which wasn't quite there early in the season, but then Zach LaVine became the old version of Zach LaVine, the explosive version of Zach LaVine, that it looked exciting. It looked sudden. It looked like a guy who can maybe be, you know, a piece of a, you know, of a high-level basketball team. So I was asking about Kobe White's ceiling. I think we've seen, you know, kind of the excellent version of Zach LaVine near his peak. Having that for a full season, what does that potentially mean for the Bulls this year?
I think in the present, Ant, I mean, you know, the consistency, because I feel like even watching the social media, Ant, about the Bulls and what they've been doing in practice, and you see the same guys again, it almost is like, oh, this is what they've been preaching, continuity, right?
Right.
Where, oh, I know what that's like to play with the same guys over and over again, but I don't know, from a fan's perspective, that's what it feels like for me, so I could only imagine Cody what that's like, that continuity and having those guys playing together again for another season and elevating each other's game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big deal with the Bulls, right? They had great health last year with the big three, and I missed part of that start of that question, Gabe, on continuity. But if you're going along that question, this is a team that was really healthy last year, and when you sign Torrey Craig and Javon Carter in free agency and don't do a whole lot else, like, that's what you're banking on, again, is internal improvement and getting the offense to elevate from 24th to certainly the Bulls at, I think a fair goal for the Bulls would certainly be like a top 10 offense, given how much money they've paid their big three and what they originally envisioned from that. And we were talking about the young guys, but it's always going to come back to your core players. And that's a group that just hasn't played well enough. I mean, it's played to close for long stretches to even basketball on the floor, and you need your best players certainly to have a net rating that's far above zero in every situation if you want to be a good team. So This is a team that it feels like it's going to be more of the same, guys. I mean, unless you see something totally different here, we can talk about the three-point shots. I think those are the things that the Bulls, for example, can control. We saw a little bit of it in the preseason opener on Sunday. Just the Bulls hoisted 19 three-pointers in the first half. They only averaged 28, 29 per game last year. So the Bulls have to improve internally for the most part, because as much as you might like the Torrey Craig and Javon Carter signings, like, they're not moving the needle 8 to 10 games on their own this season.
Not at all. But good pieces nonetheless, and that's something that I'm excited about. I look at this Bulls team, and I really just look at one player, and it's DeMar DeRozan. And we've been the beneficiary of some really good seasons from DeMar. And I'm curious, like, when is that brick wall going to hit, right? You're talking about extensions with him. You know, he's getting older, and it's like, is it going to happen, Cody? Like, am I anticipating something that is not likely?
DeMar is more likely to age gracefully than pretty much anyone his age, I think. And that's because, like, his game's not really you would agree, his game's not really predicated on athleticism right now in too many ways. It's like his basketball mind, his ability to use his strength, he knows where to be on the floor. He's so savvy in drawing fouls. He's so calm in getting to his spots. So I don't think he is going to fall off any cliff this season. Now, if you want to have a separate discussion on what type of contract the Bulls should be looking at on his next one, then I would be worried about the decline more than in this season, obviously. But I think I would expect more out of the same from DeMar. You know, like, I'm not guaranteeing he'll be an all-star like he was the last 2 years, but I think he's going to keep averaging 20-some points rather efficiently on that end.
It was good to see the explosion and the suddenness return to Zach LaVine's game as the season kind of wore on last year, as he really didn't have a big off-season program coming off of the knee surgery. So if we live in a world where we get that version of Zach LaVine athletically for a full season, then how does that impact the Bulls just as a franchise for what their potential postseason hopes could look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably got to start with him and DeMar, certainly, we've talked about. And I think that's probably the biggest room for improvement other than Patrick Williams on this team if you're looking for a guy to really take the next step, right? Like, we'd all agree that there's a large difference between, maybe not a large difference, but there's certainly a level of difference between Zach LaVine and Devin Booker at this point in the NBA. One of them's in the All-Star conversation. One of them's in the NBA conversation every year. One of them, like Zach LaVine, has been on an Olympic gold medal winning team. The other one probably can start on an Olympic Team USA squad in Devin Booker moving forward. Stuff like that. And you look 4 or 5 years ago, we're talking about those guys on the same type of plane of play. So if Zach can get to a threshold like that, where he's even more efficient, I think it would be really interesting just as an observer to get the ball more in crunch time. And if he can convert on more of those in crunch time, help the Bulls play better in close games, which they didn't do as well as they would have like to last year after they were awesome at it a couple years ago, for example, that would be another level that he can get to. And it's not rocket science for Zach, right? Like, it's just keep shooting a lot of threes. The Bulls want him to shoot a few more, and it's probably just keep trusting yourself and finish a tad better at the rim, get fouled a little bit more, and that's probably it on the offensive end for ascending to the next level, because he is so talented and he can be so efficient on that end with his three-point shooting and his finishing ability. So it's just those slight upticks, and obviously you get to the point there, like, I don't think Zach's ever going to be a lead playmaker by the way of ball sharing for any team, whether it's the Bulls or a different team later in his NBA career if it comes to that. So to me, I look like he made the point, guys. I liked it. It was like, sharpen your knife, he made the mention of at Media Day, and that meant just get better at what you're already great at, right? Like, don't change who you are as a player in person. So I thought that was the right mindset from Zach LaVine, because I think that's the way he continues to improve for the most part, is just becoming from going from really good offensively to a lead on that end, and just keep doing what you're doing, and you're a scorer, go do it. And, you know, be willing to share the ball when you draw two, but otherwise do your thing and score points, I think.
All right, I'm talking to Cody Westerlund, covers the Bulls for us here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez along with Anthony Herron. Now, the three of us were all fathers, and the three of us most certainly watch games still, right? We find time to watch these things, even though we have children. But what is that like? Are you a recorder, Cody? Are you a put the baby in your arm while they're sleeping, watch the game? And what do you guys do to watch, to try to get some games in?
Well, Gabe, I mean, Connor was born, like, I think the day before the Bulls' first play-in game, so I've really only had two Bulls games to compare to on that one.
Even Bears games, Cody. I'm talking about sports in general.
Oh, no. Bears games, I'm locked in for work because I'm working on Sunday. So
did you put air quotes up there? Did you put air quotes up there at work?
it's loud sometimes. It is loud, but I will certainly take tips if Big Ant's got any.
Yeah, my son, he plays sports. We got him on a few different teams, but he's a future paleontologist in his mind right now. So he's really just getting to the point where he'll sit still long enough. So I'm usually in a different room somewhere when I'm walking, you know, watching through the Bears games and getting ready to head into the studio for somewhere like that. For the Bulls games, he is a little more into hoops. Now, he's more of a college basketball fan. Like, if there's any athlete on the planet my son can name, is Caitlin Clark. He will sit still and watch an Iowa women's basketball game before he'll sit still and watch anything else in the sports space right now.
Well, I mean, maybe you should DVR a couple of those, and, you know, if you need to distract him, maybe one of the games
That's
you
so
missed.
Smart.
If it's against a directional school, play back an old one. You know,
hey,
like,
hey,
you
buddy.
Can't have,
Caitlin
you
Clark's
can't
playing
have
right now.
Missing a big Big Ten game.
No.
But, you know, absolutely. Those other ones.
Cody, I appreciate you hanging out with us, man, and talking some Bulls basketball. It's always a pleasure.
Yep. You guys take care. Thanks.
Cody Westerlund. Follow him on Twitter, at Cody Westerlund. People have been casually saying X now, and I can't get myself to do it. So
I'm not there yet with it either.
I'm 100% not there yet. I feel like it's all hoax, and one day it's all just going to go back, so I'm just going to keep calling it Twitter because just like Justin Fields, I don't want to be hurt.
It rolls off the tongue.
Shout out Cody Westerlund.
Just do it.
My other thing, my other go-to for watching games, Ant, is like today, for example. I watched my two daughters today. I didn't send them to daycare. Yeah. And during nap time, I just, you know, my wife, you know, she, you know, breastfeeds, so like they have a different kind of relationship with her during nap time.
Uh-huh.
For me, they know it's business. Like, we're not playing. It's nap time. Like, I'll give you a couple All kisses. Right. I might care if you need you. But today I was like, you know, it's Tuesday, so I'm still watching my condensed versions of the NFL games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, all right, ladies, nap time. I just go lay on the carpet. And, like, that's when I get to watch my games. Like, I've gotten real good at pretending what the play-by-play announcers are saying during particular plays because I don't get the luxury of that. But, nap time, that's the best time to do it, guys. Or if I'm carrying my daughter, like, one of my daughters, if I'm carrying her, like, to put her to bed at night, I've gotten really good at, like, my right arm, like, carrying her and also holding the phone, like, the hand itself holding the phone, while the other hand, the left hand is patting her back. You know, I've gotten good at this, man. You got to get a couple of tidbits in there. So
yeah, we're probably too conscious of screen time right now. And so that's part of why I'm in the other room too. But we need to kind of get out of that a little bit and kind of let him just start watching more and more stuff. And, you know, we kind of make him earn screen time or whatever. We're a little too strict with it. I think we've talked about it a little bit. We're probably going to start lighting it up because we do. I have to watch so much sports in the house for work and everything. And he's getting to the point now where he's able to kind of sit still, take it in with me, but he's usually more interested in, you know, his version of TV that he wants to watch or his favorite programs or just going reading a book or playing something else or whatever. But, I think we're transitioning into that phase a little bit more now where he's willing to sit and watch and kind of consume it a little bit better than he has been in the past.
Man, we got to do a bunch of things just to get it in. But look at us, still getting it in nonetheless. It's Gabe Ramirez. It is Anthony Herron. And coming up next, we got Jay Zawoski is going to be joining us before the top of the hour to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, when that first period ends, we'll most certainly get him on to do that. All right. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. We are live and local right here on a Tuesday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I love the Bears, and I want to see them succeed. This city and the fans especially deserve a good team. I get I'm definitely emotionally invested in every game, and you know, some of them hurt. Sometimes I try not to get so emotionally invested because, like the Denver game,
you know, that brought back some feelings. Like, I think my rookie year, we played down in Atlanta, and we went up with a go-ahead touchdown and kicked a squib kick, mm-hmm. and they ended up, Matt Ryan threw a corner route once,
yep.
and then they had Jason Elam, and you hear Jason Elam, you kind of know it's going in. And they kicked the field goal and won the game. And, I, you know, that hurt. That, as you can see, I still remember that from 15 years ago.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
One of my favorite running backs ever, Matt Forte, right there talking about being emotionally just like us, or just like me, I should say, emotionally invested in this team. And he's there for it, man. I love hearing from him. Especially because, you know, and you know, the running back situation with the Bears right now is so, I don't even know what to call it, right?
Depleted.
I mean, yeah, depleted. Thanks. You know, Darrington Evans getting on the team. Dante Farmer going to be playing. Like, what's going on with Khalil Herbert and this running back room right now?
Well, I think for Khalil Herbert, it looks like a high ankle sprain. You know, I don't think they've specified that that's what it is publicly, but certainly seems like that's probably the case from the really kind of wicked way that his ankle twisted up the other night. I mean, I was worried it was even something beyond the ankle, that maybe it was the knee or something like that, just when they showed the replay. And I don't know when it began that it felt necessary during live TV broadcasts to say that even the most gruesome of injuries, let's make sure we give viewers at least one look at something really gruesome that takes place on the field when some limb looks like it's just borderline being severed from a guy's lower body or his upper body or something like that. But they love to show it to you. So the way that Khalil Herbert's ankle twisted up in that game the other night, and the way it looked on the replay in slow motion, like, wait, the human body, the human foot is not supposed to bend in that direction. That's the opposite way that it's supposed to go. I'm like, oh, okay, he's done for the night, and maybe for an extended period of time here. Then lo and behold, they spat him up, and he's trying to get back on the field, trying to run back in the game. Oh, okay, maybe he's fine. I guess he's just built like Gumby or something like that. And then the one time they gave him the ball, he pretty much immediately went on the ground. So you got to respect his tenacity, his toughness, wanting to be out there with his teammates. But I would imagine it's going to be a few weeks before we actually see an effective version of Khalil Herbert back in the game, which is unfortunate because the last couple of games, man, he's really been running the ball. He's been running hard. He's been running with some urgency and some toughness about him, you know. He's certainly been a guy who's gained yards at various points throughout his career and always had a nice yards per carry average, but there's a force, kind of an imposing nature he's running with now that's a little different, a little extra versus what I think we're accustomed to seeing Khalil Herbert run with. So it's too bad he's banged up. And it kind of comes at the same time, man, with it being the same game that Roshon Johnson goes down. And like, it'd be one thing if we're confident Johnson was going to be available to play in the game, because then you got this exciting rookie that kind of brings a little extra juice every time he's in the game. Every time he gets the rock, he's just looking to go out there and just mow somebody over. And I use the word imposing. Like, as soon as Roshon Johnson got the ball in the game for the first time, like, oh, that's somebody who's trying to intimidate tacklers. Like, he's just upset that people have the gall to come up and try to tackle him. And there's something to be said for that. Like, that's not what every back in the league needs to be. It's not what every back on the Bears needs to be. But like having that in the lineup, Deontay Foreman, he's got a little bit of that to him. He does run with some gusto. He does run with an intimidating kind of attitude. And I don't know exactly why, you know, he hasn't been dressed for recent games. You know, like it was mentioned earlier with Kevin Fishbane when he was on with us, Foreman isn't a special teams guy. So if you know for sure you want Herbert and Johnson in the lineup, then you don't necessarily want a third running back out there who's not a contributor on special teams. So my impression has been not necessarily that the Bears are down on Deontay Foreman, but just that they're saying, we want to go with the younger guys. We want to see if Khalil Herbert is our back of the future. We drafted Roshon Johnson, and we really love his potential moving forward here. So then Homer has been the guy dressing because he's one of your special teams aces. But I think Deontay Foreman is going to get in there and perform fine because that's what he's always done throughout his career. He gets in the game, he runs hard, he performs well. So the depth, though, or lack thereof, does concern me a bit here just because all three guys who've been dressing for the Bears in recent games are all, for the moment, seeming like they'll be down. So hopefully having the mini bye, I don't anticipate seeing Khalil Herbert, but – you know, hopefully you see Roshon Johnson. It'd be nice if he were available against Minnesota. And if not, Deontay Foreman has been a guy who's had to carry a full load of a game plan on his shoulders before. So if he does have to be the main guy for a game or for a couple of games, I don't have any doubt that he'd be able to manage it.
Yeah, he's certainly capable. That we know. He's certainly healthy. That we know, because he hasn't been suiting up for any of these things. But Travis Homer, of course, dealing with a hamstring injury. Roshon Johnson dealing with a concussion. And then Khalil Herbert with the high ankle sprain just leads the way for, you know, for Dante Foreman to really just step up. But I wonder, and like, if you haven't played in four games, I mean, especially, is it different for a running back? We've talked a lot today about different positions and what that, you know, relationship is like with, you know, so many facets of the game. Is it different for a running back? Someone that's been with the team, understands the play calling, is healthy, but hasn't had that game speed play in the last, you know, 2 months?
I think it's a fair question. I feel like for Foreman, because he played throughout the preseason and in the organized scrimmages and everything else, that, yeah, it's been over a month now since he's legitimately gotten hit by somebody, but he's such a veteran, and his running style to me, you know, like I was talking about, just kind of that, the guy who looks for contact, he's kind of got that imposing style. So I think just from a rhythm perspective and a timing perspective, I think he'll be fine kind of just getting back into the mix pretty quickly here, because he did get so much work during the preseason phase of things. So I feel like from that perspective, from that standpoint, he'll end up being fine. Now, you know, is he going to be in the condition right now? If he is the only sort of, you know, dependable, healthy running back, if you have no Johnson, and, you know, Travis Homer wasn't really signed to be a guy who's going to be a legitimate part of the offense anyway. But it's like you go into a game with Foreman and Evans, and they're your only two guys or something like that. And Foreman, I don't know that I'd be confident he can be a 15 to 20 carry sort of guy for you. And so that's where there's more pressure to me with the run game on making sure you have some QB run as a part of the offense, making sure you have, whether it is a Velus Jones, which, you know, it's been infrequent that we've seen the jet sweep from Velus Jones be a big part of things with the success of the offense. But, you know, is that a part of things with the Bears a little more so? DJ Moore, as excellent as he's been as a pass receiver here in recent weeks, he hasn't necessarily been a guy who they've said, yeah, let's actually run the ball with DJ Moore. But he can do it. He did it with the Panthers, and there's no reason to think he's not capable of that with the Bears, especially with the mini bye. And if that wasn't a part of the playbook that he had necessarily practiced very much, then I would imagine it's maybe something that Luke Getsy has made it a point to practice with DJ Moore here in the additional days that they had. With as banged up as they are at running back, then you need to find ways to supplement that. But they do have players who are available and capable of doing that on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting to see how many carries he gets. It's going to be interesting to see the productivity level of Dante Foreman. And then it's going to be interesting to see how many times the Bears end up throwing the ball, right? When you're looking at the Vikings secondary, they only have one interception all year, and it came last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, you know.
Justin Fields to be a volume passer.
No,
you're looking for a 400-yard game.
Don't Mark Grody me. Don't Mark Grody me. I know this game. No. That's not what I said. I said, I wonder if the Bears are going to be that team. For me, feed the bees. Get Dante Foreman 25 rushes. Run it right up the middle. That's what I would like to see.
I am curious at some point in our final hour here, just where, because I know we're going to talk some hockey, we're going to get a Vikings perspective and everything else, but with some of those statistical thresholds that we were talking about in the offseason that you were understandably kind of concerned about, and what are the fair expectations? I'm curious for an updated vantage point on what you think is truly possible here with what we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Well, we'll most certainly do that in the 8 o'clock hour. Ron Johnson, a Viking sideline reporter, is going to hang out with us at 8:20. And then on the other side of the break, Connor Bedard is about to finish up his first period in the NHL. We'll talk to Jay Zawoski next about what he's seen from the young man. We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We'll most certainly get him on to do that. All right. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Heron. It's we are live and local right here on a Tuesday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I love the Bears and I want to see them succeed. This city and the fans especially deserve a good team. I'm definitely emotionally invested in every game, and some of them hurt. Sometimes I try not to get so emotionally invested, because like the Denver game, you know, that brought back some feelings. Like, I think my rookie year, we played down in Atlanta and we went up with a go-ahead touchdown and kicked a squib kick, mm-hmm. and they ended up, Matt Ryan threw a corner route once,
yep.
and then they had Jason Elam, and you hear Jason Elam, you kind of know it's going in. And they kicked the field goal and won the game. And I, you know, that hurt. That, as you can see, I still remember that from 15 years ago.
We're back live with more of Anthony Heron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
One of my favorite running backs ever, Matt Forte, right there talking about being emotionally just like us. Or just like me, I should say. Emotionally invested in this team. And he's there for it, man. I love hearing from him. Especially because, the running back situation with the Bears right now is so, I don't even know what to call it, right?
Depleted.
Depleted. Thanks. Yeah. Darrington Evans getting on the team. Dante Foreman going to be playing. Like, what's going on with Khalil Herbert in this running back room right now?
Well, I think for Khalil Herbert, it looks like a high ankle sprain. You know, I don't think they've specified that that's what it is publicly, but certainly seems like that's probably the case from the really kind of wicked way that his ankle twisted up the other night. I mean, I was worried it was even something beyond the ankle, that maybe it was the knee or something like that, just when they showed the replay. And I don't know when it began that it felt necessary during live TV broadcasts to say that even the most gruesome of injuries, let's make sure we give viewers at least one look at something really gruesome that takes place on the field when some limb looks like it's just borderline being severed from a guy's lower body or his upper body or something like that. But they love to show it to you. So the way that Khalil Herbert's ankle twisted up in that game the other night, and the way it looked on the replay in slow motion, like, wait, the human body, the human foot is not supposed to bend in that direction. That's the opposite way that it's supposed to go. I'm like, oh, okay, he's done for the night, and maybe for an extended period of time here. Then lo and behold, they spat him up, and he's trying to get back on the field, trying to run back in the game. Oh, okay, maybe he's fine. I guess he's just built like Gumby or something like that. And then the one time they gave him the ball, he pretty much immediately went on the ground. So you got to respect his tenacity, his toughness, wanting to be out there with his teammates. But I would imagine it's going to be a few weeks before we actually see an effective version of Khalil Herbert back in the game, which is unfortunate because the last couple of games, man, he's really been running the ball. He's been running hard. He's been running with some urgency and some toughness about him. You know, he's certainly been a guy who's gained yards at various points throughout his career and always had a nice yards per carry average, but there's a force, kind of an imposing nature he's running with now that's a little different, a little extra versus what I think we're accustomed to seeing Khalil Herbert run with. So it's too bad he's banged up. And it kind of comes at the same time, man, with it being the same game that Roschon Johnson goes down. And like it'd be one thing if we're confident Johnson was going to be available to play in the game, because then you got this exciting rookie that kind of brings a little extra juice every time he's in the game. Every time he gets the rock, he's just looking to go out there and just mow somebody over. And I use the word imposing. Like, as soon as Roschon Johnson got the ball in the game for the first time, like, oh, that's somebody who's trying to intimidate tacklers. Like, he's just upset that people have the gall to come up and try to tackle him. And there's something to be said for that. Like, that's not what every back in the league needs to be. It's not what every back on the Bears needs to be. But like having that in the lineup, Deontay Foreman, he's got a little bit of that to him. He does run with some gusto. He does run with an intimidating kind of attitude. And I don't know exactly why, you know, he hasn't been dressed for recent games. You know, like it was mentioned earlier with Kevin Fishbane when he was on with us, Foreman isn't a special teams guy. So if you know for sure you want Herbert and Johnson in the lineup, then you don't necessarily want a third running back out there who's not a contributor on special teams. So my impression has been not necessarily that the Bears are down on Deontay Foreman, but just that they're saying, we want to go with the younger guys. We want to see if Khalil Herbert is our back of the future. We drafted Roschon Johnson, and we really love his potential moving forward here. So then Homer's been the guy dressing because he's one of your special teams aces. But I think Deontay Foreman is going to get in there and perform fine because that's what he's always done throughout his career. He gets in the game, he runs hard, he performs well. So the depth, though, or lack thereof, does concern me a bit here just because all three guys who've been dressing for the Bears in recent games are all, for the moment, seeming like they'll be down. So hopefully having the mini bye, I don't anticipate seeing Khalil Herbert, but you know, hopefully see Roschon Johnson. It'd be nice if he were available against Minnesota. And if not, then Deontay Foreman has been a guy who's had to carry a full load of a game plan on his shoulders before. So if he does have to be the main guy for a game or for a couple of games, I don't have any doubt that he'd be able to manage it.
Yeah, he's certainly capable. That we know. He's certainly healthy. That we know because he hasn't been suiting up for any of these things. But Travis Homer, of course, dealing with a hamstring injury. Roschon Johnson dealing with a concussion. And then Khalil Herbert with the high ankle sprain just leads the way for Deontay Foreman to really just step up. But I wonder, and like, if you haven't played in four games, I mean, especially is it different for a running back? We've talked a lot today about different positions and what that, you know, relationship is like with, you know, so many facets of the game. Is it different for a running back? Someone that's been with the team, understands the play calling, is healthy, but hasn't had that game speed play in the last, you know, 2 months?
I think it's a fair question. I feel like for Foreman, because he played throughout the preseason and in the organized scrimmages and everything else, that, yeah, it's been over a month now since he's legitimately gotten hit by somebody. But he's such a veteran, and his running style to me, you know, like I was talking about, just kind of that, the guy who looks for contact, he's kind of got that imposing style. So I think just from a rhythm perspective and a timing perspective, I think he'll be fine kind of just getting back into the mix pretty quickly here because he did get so much work during the preseason phase of things. So I feel like from that perspective, from that standpoint, he'll end up being fine. Now, you know, is he going to be in the condition right now if he is the only sort of, you know, dependable, healthy running back? If you have no Johnson And, you know, Travis Homer wasn't really signed to be a guy who's going to be a legitimate part of the offense anyway. But it's like you go into a game with Foreman and Evans, and they're your only two guys or something like that. And Foreman, I don't know that I'd be confident he can be a 15 to 20 carry sort of guy for you. And so that's where there's more pressure to me with the run game on making sure you have some QB run as a part of the offense, making sure you have, whether it is a Velus Jones, which, you know, it's been infrequent that we've seen the jet sweep from Velus Jones be a big part of things with the success of the offense. But, you know, is that a part of things with the Bears a little more so? DJ Moore, as excellent as he's been as a pass receiver here in recent weeks, he hasn't necessarily been a guy who they've said, yeah, let's actually run the ball with DJ Moore. But he can do it. He did it with the Panthers, and there's no reason to think he's not capable of that with the Bears, especially with the mini bye. And if that wasn't a part of the playbook that he had necessarily practiced very much, then I would imagine it's maybe something that Luke Getsy has made it a point to practice with DJ Moore here in the additional days that they had. With as banged up as they are at running back, then you need to find ways to supplement that. But they do have players who are available and capable of doing that on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting to see how many carries he gets. It's going to be interesting to see the productivity level of Dante Foreman. And then it's going to be interesting to see how many times the Bears end up throwing the ball, right? When you're looking at the Vikings secondary, they only have one interception all year, and it came last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, you know.
Justin Fields to be a volume passer.
No,
you're looking for a 400-yard game.
Don't Mark Grody me. Don't Mark Grody me. I know this game. No. That's not what I said. I said, I wonder if the Bears are going to be that team. For me, feed the bees. Get Dante Foreman 25 rushes. Run it right up the middle. That's what I would like to see.
I am curious at some point in our final hour here, just where, because I know we're going to talk some hockey, we're going to get a Vikings perspective and everything else, but with some of those statistical thresholds that we were talking about in the offseason that you were understandably kind of concerned about, what are the fair expectations? I'm curious for an updated vantage point on what you think is truly possible here with what we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Well, we'll most certainly do that in the 8 o'clock hour. Ron Johnson, a Viking sideline reporter, is going to hang out with us at 8:20. And then on the other side of the break, Connor Bedard is about to finish up his first period in the NHL. We'll talk to Jay Zawoski next about what he's seen from the young man. We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. MasterClass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.